And thank you for staying with the process for such a period of time. I'm delighted to be asked to talk to this very important conference, and I'm delighted too with the theme of inclusion, which I think is an enormously important theme in our deliberations north and south. Like Tony, I was asked if I would talk about the transformation of teacher education north and or in the Republic of Ireland to mirror, I think, well, not exactly to mirror, because Tony is looking forward, I'm a bit looking past. But really, just to begin by reflecting of where we are in the context of where we are, I'd say that over the last 20 years in Irish society, in the Republic of Ireland, and in its education changes, there has been radical transformation. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this, and they include, among others, the economic cycles of recession and growth. Remember, we were there in the 1980s, and back to recession again. We have the influence of transnational organisations, from the multinationals to the European Union, from the UN to the OECD, and lately the spectre of the IMF coming into us. We have cycles of emigration and immigration, the ready availability of information via the internet, and that's particularly important in the area of disability and special education, and the incorporation of international conventions on human rights into our legislation. And finally, of course, and very importantly also, we have the demands of parents. Inclusion as a concept is a relatively new one in the Irish Republic. It's related to many of the patterns that I've just mentioned, and it's certainly been linked to economic growth and to the incorporation of rights into our system, although I would have to preface by saying that we don't have a rights-based legislation for people with disabilities. We have what might be described better as an almost rights-based legislation. Whether the future of inclusion will be negatively affected by the very severe austerity measures which will be part of government policy over the next few years remains to be seen. But my argument rests really on the proposition that inclusive schools have to be part of the solution to Ireland's economic difficulties and, most importantly of all, to social cohesion over the future. So, as a sort of prelude to the research and discussion, which I think is really necessary to see how we will get through the coming years, this paper reviews some of the changes which have taken place. It defines the concept of inclusion in this context. It summarises key findings of research on teacher education and inclusion in Ireland, and it raises a number of questions about possible future directions for education. Now, I'm going to skip over the next session because of this particular overhead. I think you're all pretty familiar with the changes that have happened in the school system in the Republic of Ireland, even if you're from the north. All of the things that are mentioned there have happened. And I'll just skip on, if I may, to inclusion, because as other speakers have done earlier in the session, in the conference, I think it's pretty important to be clear on what we mean. First, I think inclusion is related to the recognition of diversity in modern societies, and it has come to mean that schools should concern themselves with increasing the participation and broad educational achievements of all groups of learners. Now, this particular quotation is taken from Ofsted, not people who get bouquets of roses thrown at them terribly often, but nevertheless, I think it's a very interesting definition of inclusion. It's a very broad-based one. I'm sure there are categories there that, you know, where I'm sure that all of us around the room could think of additional categories that could be included. But really, harking back to the presentation which Tony has just given, we know from research, we know from our experience that in the Irish Republic, particularly, the school system is quite stratified. And schools will say, well, I'll have one of this, I'll have this one and this one, but the other school down the road is going to take those. So my argument is that we should be trying to move towards a situation where all of those categories and other ones that perhaps are not even included there have to be in all schools. Now, that's a very difficult proposition to take forward, but I think it is one of the important things that we need to think about. Moving on, though, to changes in teacher education that have taken place over the last number of years. If we take the early 1990s as a point of departure, we can see that significant changes have taken place in both the requirements and the practice of teacher education in relation to inclusion, until the development by the Teaching Council of its regulations, the regulations pertaining to teacher education, by the Registration Council, the previous body, the Registration Council, from its inception in 1926, including a number of revisions up to 2006, they made no mention whatsoever of any requirement to address special education or inclusion. As late as the mid-1990s, initial teacher education gave scant attention to special education. It tended to be regarded as a sort of optional extra. Nor was there a specific requirement to address issues relating to ethnicity or interculturalism or even to social class disadvantage or to gender. What was mandated was the requirement for courses to offer basic studies in the foundations of education in such areas as philosophy, psychology and sociology, which should, it was suggested by the old regulations, provide the basis for those reflective experiences which would enable the student to build up for him or herself a conceptual framework which would help them to develop an informed and coherent theory of education for practical teaching and for future professional work. This broad regulation meant that courses and modules were developed in a number of institutions by individuals who had an interest in and a commitment to areas relating to inclusion. Issues relating to social class, gender and ethnicity were most likely to be found in sociology modules, whereas issues relating to special educational needs were likely to be found in psychology modules. By the time the newly established Teaching Council published its own revisions of the regulations for initial teacher education, a requirement for higher education institutes to input diversity and inclusion was part of the regulations. The Teaching Council regulation now specifically mentions meeting diverse needs, including children with special educational needs, disadvantaged pupils, and intercultural education. It should also be noted, and I think Áine Lawler drew attention to this yesterday, that under each of the three headings on values, professional practice, and professional conduct, the codes make specific mention of social justice, equality and democracy, and diversity based on the nine grounds of the year 2000 Equal Status Act. To date, there has been actually quite little research on the content of initial teacher education relating to ethnicity, race, gender or social class, or indeed to a number of the other equal status grounds. Now, there is a process of review going on by the Teaching Council, and maybe something will come out of that. But there has been some research on initial teacher education and special education. For example, a study of inclusion by my colleague William Kinsler reveals that school principals and teachers in post for a number of years feel that initial teacher education insufficiently prepared them for the challenges of teaching a broad curriculum to increasingly diverse groups of students. While incorporating special educational needs in initial teacher education is extremely important, there is no doubt that in the face of the dramatic changes in pupil composition which took place from the end of the 1990s onwards, the bulk of the teaching profession who were already in post were ill prepared for the challenges that these changes presented. This obviously is not exclusive to Ireland. Internationally, many teachers have concerns about inclusion and frequently argue that they have not been prepared for the task, and we have plenty of evidence about that. Other colleagues in Trinity, for example, Michael Shevlin and others, have pointed out that mainstream teachers need training in special educational needs, particularly in the area, as it was very strongly emphasised earlier this morning, of curriculum differentiation and whole school approaches to special education. In addition, research that was commissioned by Scotans itself and carried out by Hugh Cairns in the north and Michael Shevlin in the south make reference to the fact that most initial teacher education courses now make students aware of the social context of achievement, of disaffection, of subculture, family and peer group influence, social identity, and the experience of minority groups, and indeed also cultural influences on schooling and pedagogy, intercultural learning, gender and ethnicity. This knowledge, they found, was concentrated within core units, tending to be focused on disaffection, the school and society, or equality studies, and was less commonly addressed within special education units and elections. The teacher education institutions studied, the publication was 4 years ago, were making important efforts to incorporate special education within their units. However, there were limitations, and I think all of us teacher educators would be familiar with them. They were particularly the time allocated varied considerably between courses. There was the overcrowded curriculum, which challenged many of the school and university partnerships. There was the obvious need for CPD for the staff of the institutions. But, however, on the very positive side, the culture of a caring profession that is associated with special education was universally observed to be positive and very popular with students. Turning now to CPD, it has become clear that in-service education or continuing professional development is an extremely important way to address the changes and challenges faced by initial teacher education in the realm of inclusion. Again, the research I've referred to earlier showed that short courses and in-service days, which teachers and some classroom assistants are currently offered, are not really adequate. There is a need for hands-on training for teachers to work with children, particularly those with disabilities and special educational needs. Awareness of disability issues and skills in teaching and learning strategies suited to children with disabilities should, it's argued by this research, be a compulsory programme element for students in teacher education colleges. Teachers also need skills in identification and knowledge of assessment processes, and these matters have been touched on already in our conference. Schools reported that the vast majority of resource teachers had received no formal training. These are resource teachers, are the people who are in charge of special education within the schools, had received no formal training, though a number of learning support teachers had completed an official training course. Until the beginning of the 2000s, there was a very limited number of special needs courses with a very small number of places for serving teachers. And I suppose it's instructive to remind ourselves in the Republic that in the early 1960s, there was established a diploma in special education in St. Pat's in Dublin. And around the same time, a specialised programme for teachers of the blind, and in UCD, my own institution, a programme for the deaf set up around the early 1960s. These courses were designed to be taken by teachers who were already employed in specialist settings. However, recent research by Jean Ware and Joe Travers, who I think is someplace here, shows that by the present day, even in the 83 special schools in the Republic, only between a quarter and a third of teachers had undertaken specialist training at diploma level or higher. And I think that's quite a sobering finding. Research in my own institution involving a national survey of the most senior learning support and resource teachers in primary and post-primary schools over the last couple of years by Elizabeth O'Gorman with some collaboration from myself showed that over a third of the senior people who were in charge of the special education areas within their schools, over a third had no postgraduate qualification in special educational needs. And the figure actually at primary was almost two-thirds. The research provided evidence that the adoption of inclusive education will not occur without professional development for teachers who have come up, as it were, through a system which was largely segregated. For example, certain aspects of the roles undertaken by learning support and resource teachers promote practices which withdraw students from the regular education system rather than including them. This research showed that the majority of teachers' requests for professional development in inclusion or special educational needs focus mainly on supporting current practices, and that's something that Tony mentioned, insofar as the teachers prioritise training in types of learning difficulty, assessment techniques and teaching strategies. Now, these are, of course, very important and very legitimate. But as important and legitimate as they are, our UCD research suggests that the appointment of learning and support and resource teachers to oversee the educational needs of students identified with special needs must also be accompanied by professional development to ensure that the role undertaken is one which de-emphasises withdrawal as the default mode of instruction and instead takes on a proactive role in supporting colleagues to adopt transformative practices in a bid to expand regular education. It's also, I think, important to acknowledge the improvements that have taken place. For example, in 2002, the Task Force on Autism, which I chaired myself and which John Hunter, who's with us here, was a member, it recommended ASD-specific teacher education at pre-service and in-service levels. And this has undoubtedly improved considerably. Teacher education in Ireland on ASD is provided through 3 accredited courses for qualified teachers at primary and post-primary levels, a range of shorter courses on specific teaching approaches and methodologies, and brief inputs at pre-service level. The Special Education Support Service develops and delivers professional development initiatives for teachers of students with autistic spectrum disorders. And of course, it also delivers short courses on a range of other special education areas. The universities and colleges of education have, I think, contributed in a very important way in continuing professional development in the area of inclusion. In the induction phase of the teaching career, UCD, in collaboration with other universities, had undertaken research and development on induction, which has included professional development on inclusion. Special educational needs have been identified as one of the priority concerns for newly qualified teachers on induction programmes, and NQTs are offered inputs in this area. This induction programme is now being rolled out through the education centres. As regards certified courses relating to inclusion, all of the universities and colleges of education have made significant contributions to professional development. The 7 universities and all of the colleges of education, with one exception in a specialist college, they offer programmes at postgraduate diploma and or at master's level for teachers in special needs education, disability studies, diversity and or intercultural education. All of the universities and some of the colleges of education offer opportunities for studies in this field at doctoral level. So the boundaries of knowledge are being extended forward. In addition, staff research is underway in most of the institution on aspects of inclusion. The findings of research on professional development undertaken by ourselves in UCD and a number of people in Queen's with the support of Scotians suggest that courses which lead to additional qualifications have an impact on teacher efficacy. In general, the teachers who were interviewed by us and who had additional qualifications tended to show particular confidence in their ability to carry out their roles. So, to conclude then, our research and our review of the literature on inclusion would lead us to agree with a view recently expressed by Emo Nakaran of Ivaskila University that teacher education, special education, multicultural studies and teaching practice should be planned more together. Research-based learning should also be increased. The streams of education should have more assignments which are based on problems, which involve problem-based learning. The solving of problems can bind together the central topics of the curriculum. Inclusive teaching practice opportunities should also be enhanced. As we say in our analysis of professional development needs of teachers north and south, the area of inclusive education is an evolving one. There is evidence of a move from segregated provision for students with special educational needs to a more inclusive system where all students are educated together, irrespective of their perceived differences. There's an increasing number of students identified as having special educational needs in the ordinary schools, but also an enormous increase in the number of children from diverse ethnic and faith backgrounds. Disadvantage arising from social class and poverty looks likely to increase, I'm afraid, as the economy worsens. Other equality issues, such as sexual orientation, are now widely debated. Therefore, current practices in this changeover period are likely to undergo further adaptations. In fact, we'll have to undergo further adaptations. The professional development which is sought by teachers currently may not reflect the requirements of potential situations that will emerge. Furthermore, professional development that merely reacts to situations will not provide the stimulus for informed debate about possibilities which are as yet undreamed of. There is a need for professional development to enter a symbiotic relationship with practice where each informs the other. There's a need for teachers to be encouraged to engage in critical analysis of existing practices and to involve themselves in collaborative work to support their colleagues in helping learners who have complex needs. And finally, in the words of a certain political party, which is now in a lot of trouble, I think, there's a lot done, but much, much more to do. So thank you very much.
Very taken by the visuals of the small red school. We've had two very different papers, one that is acknowledging the achievements to date and recognising the challenges going forward, and then there's another one that says, this is very different, we need to think outside the box, we need to be more, our boundaries need to be porous. And any of you who are aware of rugby will realise that Thomond Park is one of our hallowed grounds in Limerick, but if you live on one side of Thomond Park, you live in Moyross. And your educational outcomes in Moyross are significantly different